The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Our coverage of the 2024 NFL Scouting Combine continues. Joining us now, one of the top receivers in this year's class, Malik Nabers from LSU. Malik, welcome.
Appreciate you for having me.
Man, you smell that?
Oh,
you
know.
You smell it?
Yeah.
Money.
I can't hide money.
Money coming this way. He smells like cash over here.
I'm talking about my cologne.
No, I don't want to smell your damn cologne, okay? What kind of cologne are you wearing, actually?
Louis V.
Oh, see? That's what I mean.
It smells like money.
Can't hide money. There it is. We got it. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, first off, congrats on your year.
Appreciate it. Incredible year.
Really was. What's this process been like for you so far?
I've just been enjoying the moment, I would say. You know, a little dream finally coming to light. You know, when I watched this at home last year, you know, it was just always a dream to come here this year, see people like yourself, just have a good time out here. You know, there's a lot of athletes that only get chosen to come here, that 1%. So I'm just glad to be that 1%.
Cool, man. You know, we got another member of the Can't Buy a Beer Club, 20 years old.
It's unreal.
A lot of 20-year-olds here this year.
Damn, I mean, how old were you when you got to college? I guess 17?
17,
yeah.
Yes, sir.
Damn, man. You got
talent knows no age.
No, it does not. It definitely doesn't. All right, so, I mean, give our viewers, you know, a little scouting report on yourself, right?
Right.
Tell them what you're really good at. Tell them something that you need to work on, you know, going into the NFL.
Cool. What I'm good at, you know, my body control and balance. Really going up and attack the ball. Speed guy, acceleration after the catch.
Right.
Good at a point of contact, good at creating space for myself. I would say, you know, I go against a lot of DB, especially since I'm outside and inside. So I'm pretty good at, you know, getting open at any DB that's on the field, really.
All right. And then what do you got to work on? What's the thing that you go?
Things I got to work on is just using my hands at the beginning of point of contact.
Line of scrimmage.
Yes, sir.
Right.
And just being more cleaner coming out my routes.
Yeah.
I'm always interested in the guy's story. You transferred for your senior year, but they didn't let you play after the transfer waiver was denied. You still showed up to every practice to help out your teammates. That had to be excruciating, be there at practice and not be able to play, knowing the talent that you have, and then to come as far as you have after that. They're probably wishing that they had let you go ahead and play that year, get a little Malik Nabers on the field.
I think I would have been a big five-star after I finished that year.
What led to that? What, I mean, that's a rare one. You don't hear kids going, I transferred my senior year of high school. What led to that?
You know, my mama had found a better spot to live, and it was closer to the school zone of that area. She wasn't going to be able to get me to, you know, the old school that I was going to and work. So, you know, it was just a good decision for me to just stay in the school zone where I can catch the bus and go to school there. You know, but they denied the fact that when they investigated it, they just denied the fact that to bring me to that school, really.
You special school. You guys had a special year, right? Who's some of your idols growing up, a receiver?
I would probably say the biggest one is probably Jamar and Jess. You know, I never really watched, you know, Odell and Jarvis play.
Okay.
I always heard about them, you know, how they played, but I never really watched those guys at LSU. You know, a lot of people started watching Odell Beckham when he got to the league. So I'll probably say Jamar and Jess only because, you know, that 2019 year,
recent.
I was at those games to see those guys. So I'll probably say those two.
But all those guys, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson,
kind of wide receiver you, sorry.
Right. But he's got the school record.
I know.
3,003 career
receiving
yards.
Eat that, OBJ. He ain't got that on you. He might have Kim Kardashian, but he doesn't have that. Okay?
Yeah, that's nice, though.
Do you talk to Jay Jetta? This is a Vikings fan. This is the Justin Jefferson fan club. Do you get to talk or reach out to a Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson in this process at all to pick their brain?
I never reached out. Those guys never reached out to me. But through on the years, you know, I kept in contact probably Jamar, Terrence Marshall, just those two. I never really kept in contact with any other person.
Gotcha.
Who's giving you the best advice to get you ready for what's next?
I wouldn't say I reached out for any advice that they gave me. both of them that I talked to really ain't giving me any advice. You know, they were just like, it's football. Just stick to football, you know, and don't get too worried about, you know, the aspects of, you know, the cameras or, you know, when you get to the league. They say it's just, at the end of the day, it's football.
Yeah. So you're not working out, yeah, right? You're going to be the second or third receiver off the board. It seems like that's the consensus no matter what. What led to the decision to go, I'm not going to do the combine?
It was about, you know, I talked to my team and I put that out that was the best thing for me right now. So, you know, I want all the coaches to come out there and watch us at Pro Day, watch me and Jaden and Brian Thomas run around. It's better than seeing us on film, seeing us in person where you actually get the, you know, the eyes on just us. Is that being, you know, here and seeing all those receivers, you know, get a point of attack or just watching us while we're running routes.
All right, so you will do a pro day and do all that. Yes, so you liked it because it's more familiar and it's just going to be focused on you instead of you running two routes and then getting back on the line and that which is stupid. It's stupid. Yeah.
You've played both inside and outside. Yeah. What's your preference?
I really don't have a preference. I like to be moved around. Especially, you know, I can give a defense a different look or go against a different player. You know, I like being that outside guy because I get to go against the best corner. So if I feel, you know, if you feel like that's the best corner on the field and I feel like I'm the best receiver, so let's go at it on the outside. But I'm also going to take my talents inside to create space for, you know, other players like Brian Thomas. Or just beat my man that's in front of me.
You said moving around, though. The good thing about moving around is you move around to the worst guy out there. Like, let me go try to be covered by the guy that is the worst of the three.
Yeah, really.
Who's the best player you played against in college football?
Best player I played against, probably Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid Elias. Derrick Stingley.
Yeah.
You know, when I was out there practicing with those guys.
Right.
Probably those are the top three cornerbacks that I went against.
But your QB's the man, right? I mean, damn, you guys did special things this year between you, Thomas, and Jaden. What's something we don't know about Jaden that, you know, and you go, damn, hey, this is what makes this guy special, or whatever you just chuckled about in your brain right there. Let us know that.
So he spends absolutely way too much money on jewelry, I would say.
Okay. Damn, I wish we would have had you first and I could have used that on
probably
him.
Probably clothes, designer.
So he's
wear.
Bougie is what you're saying.
Very, very bougie.
I love it.
But, you know, what separates him is that his mindset to be the best. You know, waking up at 5 a.m. in the morning consistently through the season, especially, you know, a hard season that we did have, especially in the SEC, if you can wake up, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at 5 o'clock in the morning, consistently do that the whole year, then it shows why, you know, he won the Heisman. He put the work into it. He stayed down, you know, kept his closest people closest to him. You know, he all brought us here. He all brought his receivers with him. So we're here because of him, and I'm grateful that he became my quarterback.
Who's faster, you or him?
Me.
All right. On that note,
that was quick.
On that note, he's Malik Nabers on his way to the NFL. We got to let him run. Appreciate some of your time and
you.
All the best to you at the next level.
Appreciate it.
We'll be back with more from Indy after this. All right, more prospects from the scouting combine in Indianapolis. It's quarterback, receiver, running back day. Joining us now, Washington receiver Rome Odunze. Rome, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Super, super honored to be here.
Oh, we are honored to have you.
Come on,
we know
man.
You're busy. We appreciate some of your time. How's it feel being here as part of this whole festivity?
It's awesome. It's really amazing, honestly. Just, you know, being in the moment, being here at the combine, you know, knowing, you know, I've been watching this on TV for a long time, watching some of these interview clips that'll come out probably from this. It's really a surreal moment.
Well, you say something really crazy, then this will go viral.
You'll always be able to watch it.
That's right. Yeah. I'm not the type to give them that sort of content. I just keep it cool and cordial. But, we'll see. We'll see how this one ends up.
So, incredible year. I mean, incredible.
Thank
right.
You.
I mean, it was you guys were the most fun offense to watch in college football, really. Maybe the last 2 years,
right.
Really.
Yeah.
You're going to work out.
That's right.
I'm like, I didn't know that until this morning.
Yeah.
Because I thought like, oh, well, Rome, he's locked. Like, he's definitely going to be one of the three first receivers off the board. What led to that decision?
Well, for me, I just want to go out there and be able to, you know, compete, not against, you know, not just against all the guys here, but, you know, past generations to come, right? Like, this will be something that I'm sure that will continue for a long time. So just to be able to compare myself and see where I'm at entering the league. I feel like it's a fun thing to do, as well as, like you said one of the three, right, to go off the board. I want it to be, you know, number
one. You want to be one.
I want to be the one to go off the board. So if I have to go out there and continue to prove why I'm the best, and, you know, and I have the opportunity to do that, I'm going to do it.
Man, you're my mofo. I like that right there.
What's your goal? What's your goal when it's time to put your hand on the ground and run the 40?
My goal is sub 4.4.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been training, sprinting to go run, and hopefully I'll go get it.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, right? I wasn't sure how fast you were,
right?
I mean, I know you're fast, right? But, like, you know, we're talking NFL receiver
fast,
right?
Sure.
So one of the things I did question going in the process, I was like, I mean, I'm not sure, like, how explosive Rome is, but I've seen enough of you on film. I'm only through the quarterbacks really right now.
Right.
But your speed actually, you're faster than I expected or I thought on TV for whatever reason.
Yeah, people have been telling me that my whole life.
Is that right?
It is right. Even on the track, you know, when I was, you know, winning first in state, people were like, man, you look like you was running slower. You jogging? But I feel like it's just my stride length.
Smooth.
Yeah, I'm smooth with it. I got a long stride length, so it doesn't look like I'm, you know, rolling through steps. But I got some speed on me.
Yeah,
sure.
You definitely
I know of one thing that can affect a person's speed. Well, two things. A broken rib and a punctured lung.
Not him.
No, didn't miss a game. What the hell?
Yeah. You know,
Torn doll is a wonderful thing.
No tour at all. Yeah, what a crazy time of the season.
I mean, that is a painful, serious condition. How were you able to play without missing a game?
Man, you know, I don't know. I feel like my body, you know, knew what time it was, knew it was rival week in a couple of weeks because, you know, I feel like it healed up pretty quick. You know, when it happened, I was like, oh, my goodness, like, it feels like death. I don't know if anybody out there's had a punctured lung, but it feels like you're going to die.
Right.
And especially not knowing what it is, like, in your chest, you're like, what's
going on?
My heart, it might be your spleen.
Right. I lost
my spleen.
Okay, and I thought it was a punctured lung.
Okay, so
because I was like, but then I got to a point where I was like, man, this something feels really wrong.
Nothing.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, like, come on, like, doctors come here. Like,
help
so
me.
That's how it was at the beginning. But, you know, quickly through the bye season, trainers, you know, shout out to all of them, was doing everything that they could to get me back healthy, you know, wore some rib protectors and was able to go get it.
What's your who's your idol at receiver growing up?
My idol at receiver, I got to shout out Devin Hester.
Ooh, okay.
I really liked him mostly for his return game. He was a good receiver as well, but I used to watch his highlights over and over and over and over again, just him returning the ball, scoring touchdowns, you know, in the Super Bowl, first kickoff return, right?
Is there a guy right now that's
got
your eye?
Definitely. I'm a big fan of Devontae Adams. I just feel like, you know, he's a very complete receiver, from his release package to his route running to his contested catches ability to – run after catch ability. He's someone that I look at a lot.
Yeah, you got some of that in you. You got some of that Devontae, for sure.
Thank you.
You make a lot of catches when it's a 50-50 situation, which makes it not 50-50.
Right.
That must be your mentality. It's not 50-50. It's more like 80-20. It's more like 90-10.
100%.
It's more like 100-0.
Like 100%.
Yeah, 100%. You got to have that mindset when it comes to that situation, for sure.
How do you develop that skill?
I just think through practice, you know, something I continue to work on, you know, in practice and with different drills, you know, catching over bags, catching with, you know, coaches nagging on me and, you know, pulling me this way, that way, just so I can get to, because when you get those situations, like, it's kind of like a box out, you know what I mean? Like, it's you, the defender, and the ball. So just getting in between the ball and the defender and being able to, you know, make an athletic play, I think is something you got to practice and also build that connection with your quarterback in the game.
Anything you hear from coaches or scouts, or I mean, you're a pretty smart guy. I can already see that you want to go away. I got to get better at this. You know, what's your thing? The number one thing I'm trying to get better at right now.
Oh, number one thing. I would say, one, my releases, and then two, my route breaks. You know, I look at my releases. I do some split releases like Devontae Adams, but. You know, you could turn on my film, turn on his film, and be like, okay, there's a little bit of a difference. So, you know, for me, that just tells me I still have a ways to go, still have much to learn in that aspect of the game. And with my releases as well, because I like to look at small guys who are like, you know, 5'10 in the league, you know, 5'11 that are getting in and out of their breaks,
right?
And, you know, as a big guy, 6'3, I want to be able to do the same thing, you know, get in and out like that. So I try and compare myself to those guys in those two aspects, but definitely still improving.
I see your quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., over there. Make your pitch for him, why these teams should be taking him more seriously.
Oh, I'm gonna just start for one, you know, his character. You know, you've seen him, you know, as a Heisman, you know, in the Heisman conversation when he was at Indiana, when he was able to stay healthy there. He got tore through college football, put into the mud, and was able to rise out of the other side as, you know, being able to take his team to the national championship game. And I think a lot of people always, you know, are trying to say that he had three great wide receivers, which he did, but, man, we were able to get what we got done without Michael Penix, right. Period.
Jaden Daniels' receivers weren't no slouch.
That's right. You know, that's right. Right. Yeah, he threw through some.
I hate how they use it for some people and other people
they
don't.
Exactly.
That's what drives
me crazy. Yeah, the people out there, they pick narratives, they pick stats to support their argument. But, man, go turn on the tape. Like, you turn on the tape, every time Michael Penix has touched the field and he's been healthy on the field, there's no quarterback better than him.
What about what made your guys' connection special, right? I've seen enough and watched him enough on film. Like I said, I haven't studied the receivers totally yet. But every big moment, like the Oregon State game,
right?
I look at that, and they go, what? It's the biggest play of the game. They're trying to close it out. They just go, you run straight, and you guys figure it out whether you want to throw the go or the back shoulder, right? But, I mean, how did you guys get that timing and, you know, commitment together?
Yeah, that one's interesting, too, because there was a play concept on the other side that they really wanted him to throw, and he had that belief in me to go get it. And I think, you know, that leads to me saying that's exactly what it was. It was just, like, the belief in one another. Like, he knew every time I was out there, you know, I was ready for a moment like that, and he was ready to put the ball exactly where it needed to be. So when you have that connection with the quarterback, I feel like that's what makes it the easiest when you both have that belief that, okay, this quarterback's going to put it exactly where it needs to be. This wide receiver's going to go up and take it regardless of where I put it. And with that, it's easy to continue to execute.
Here's the big takeaway then. Wherever Rome ends up, whoever the quarterback is, get ready because he's going to be at your door. He's going to be following you around. He's going to do all he can. Right. You need anything done, he's going to do it. He's going to make that connection with you because he understands the value of the receiver-quarterback connection.
That's the way it's got to go.
100%. That pretty much sounds how the rookie year goes, right? Yeah, you're following people around, doing what everybody asks you to do. So, yeah, definitely be a little bit of that, especially with the quarterback.
All you guys hang? Like you and Michael Penix off the field? Madden? Definitely. We play in Madden?
Definitely.
We do any of that?
Yeah, we play some vids. He's a big Call of Duty guy.
Oh, is that right?
I popped on there a couple times, but I've been trashed since COVID, so I'm trying to get back into it. But,
okay. You got other things to worry about.
That's right. Yeah. And he's got other stuff to do. We got to let him go.
Oh, damn.
Rome,
all right.
Thank you so much. Congratulations on your success. Rome Odunze will be back with plenty more from the Scouting Combine.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we continue our coverage of the 2024 NFL Scouting Combine. Joining us now, another quarterback. It's quarterback day. This is Florida State's Jordan Travis. Jordan, welcome. How are you, buddy?
Great, man. Just thankful to be here. It's a dream come true. At the end of the day, every day I wake up here, I'm like, it's a long day, but, man, you think about it, it's like this is what you dream for. I'm here with my teammates, roommates with Johnny, so it's a blessing, man. All glory to God. All glory to my family. Just helping me get here.
And we got to give Jordan some props. And this may be one of those little things at the teams you don't really know. You don't get a look into someone's character.
Yeah.
You know, you meet with them and guys say what they're supposed to say.
Right.
But we were interviewing somebody else and Jordan
was polite,
patiently,
he didn't big time
5 minutes, didn't walk away, just chilled and waited. And
Most people just go, screw Florio, I'm out of here, and they leave.
I'm gone. But that's a testament to your character. It's the kind of stuff, you know, they always say, the things that you do when people aren't looking, those are the things that reveal character. So that's a testament to you. It's because, you know, it's a busy day, but we appreciate that, and we appreciate you for hanging around and waiting for us to have a chance to get you up here.
Of course, man. That's just me. My mom raised me right, man. Got to give people the time of the day no matter who they are. The homeless man on the side of the street deserves a hello, too.
Yeah, I hear that.
That's important, man.
Yeah, that's great attitude.
That's a great way to think there.
What age were you when you realized, I'm pretty good at football?
Yeah. I would say my sophomore year of college is when it really clicked in. Coach Lavelle came in and told me I played quarterback. There was times early on in my career where I doubted myself. I was just a young kid, immature kid. I just didn't have confidence. So I was probably say my sophomore year, probably about around the age of 19, 20. That changed, and it was all my teammates' help and Coach Lavelle for sure.
You started at Louisville,
yes, sir.
Right? What, you know, you're a South Florida kid, right? Yes, baller, like all the damn South Florida kids are,
yes, sir.
Right? But what made you change and, you know, change your mind and then go to Florida State?
Honestly, man, it was just a young kid. I mean, at the end of the day, I was 18 years old, going away from home for the first time. I think that was all it was. People always ask me, and I can't put a finger around it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, just going away from home, man. I felt like God was taking me a different way.
You miss Florida. You miss being around that.
I did a little bit. I did. I'm grateful I went to Florida State for sure.
And you know, sometimes it seems like bad things happen to really good people. I mean, I feel like that's what happened to you this year.
Sure.
Right? I mean, you might be going to the national championship game. You guys got it going on. And then you got hurt.
Sure.
And, I mean, it stunk for all of us, right? I mean, it started the whole college football argument and the playoff and all that crap. I mean, how'd you deal with that big negative in your life there?
God has a plan. That's it. That's all you can do is take it day by day. I can wake up in the morning, I could breathe, and I could open my eyes. I'm going to put a smile on my face no matter what. I've looked at this injury as kind of an opportunity. Opportunity to make everyone around me happy. I mean, I wake up every single morning at my house. My mom's going to work. She's a nurse, and she works from 8 to 4:30. I have opportunity when I walk out of the room to put a smile on my face. She probably thinks I'm going to feel sorry for myself. I can motivate her for the day. I can motivate my dad, my friends. So it's the little things in life that mean so much. And if I could breathe and I could smile, I'm good, man. That's all I need.
Where do things stand now in the recovery?
So I got out of my boot last week, so I'm walking. It's getting stronger every single day, so just trying to build back this leg back up, the calf, the quad, all that stuff, so I'm ready to go in probably about 2 months.
Fibula? Or was it?
Yes, sir.
It was fibula,
yes,
right?
Sir.
Yeah. Damn, I know. And you got – he kind of got – he got a horse
hip
collar
drop.
Hip drop tackle. He got hip drop, which is about to get out of the NFL because it happened to a bunch of guys this year, just like you did. 100%. It's got to get out of college football too. It's gonna cost my man money. All right, that damn tackle. It definitely is. It's gonna cost you money, and that sucks. It really does. You know, talk about the things that you feel like, you know, and when you do get healthy, that you want to work on in your game to kind of go to the next level.
Yeah, a little bit of everything, man. Pocket presence, still growing as a leader. I feel like that's the most important thing is you have to lead these men. You're going into a room with a bunch of men. So that's what it is. They're trying to feed their families. You're trying to feed your families. So that's the most important thing. But on the field, I'll say, man, it's being more consistent. That's the main thing is be more consistent. I feel like I've grown every single year with that type of stuff and the accuracy, owning the ball, not putting the ball in jeopardy. So things like that, man. There's so much room for improvement in my game, and it's just getting started.
Yeah.
What's the one thing you're working on the most to get better at?
I'll say right now with just coverages and stuff, obviously NFL and college are very different. The verbiage of plays, things like that. I mean, when I can start getting into throwing more and more, obviously driving off my back foot, I feel like I throw off my back foot a lot. So, I mean, I think that was from early on in my career, just getting hit. So, I mean, once I get out of that little phase, I'm so consistent and so accurate.
So you're working with somebody right now to kind of go over NFL plays and reading coverages and doing that?
I will soon. I've been in West Palm doing all my therapy stuff, just trying to get healthy with that. So I kind of been doing that stuff
just
by myself.
Just on your own?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That's cool to hear. What about Florida State? You got some studs on your team. I don't want to hear about any of them. I want to hear about who the best player you played against in your college football career.
Played against.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's that one guy you're just like, damn, he's better. Whoa, I can't believe what he was on the field that day. Anybody pop out to you like that?
I mean, there's a bunch.
I know. That's why you get your quarterback. You got that quarterback money. You got to answer tough questions.
I do like Trotter from Clemson. I think he was a really special player. The way he flies around, and he popped me one good time, so that's probably why he comes to my mind. So yeah, I'll say Trotter or Cam Kitchens at Miami.
Yeah, that was your guy. Who's your quarterback growing up? Like who's your idol now, or when you were younger, who were they?
When I was younger, I would say probably Cam Newton. That was my guy, being a young kid and just watching him grow and everything.
Right.
Jameis Winston, obviously being a Florida State
guy.
Fan,
I mean, yeah,
that was my guy.
You don't need any W's, do you? You don't do any of that.
But yeah, I was saying now Lamar Jackson. I'm just seeing how he carries himself. I feel like that's so big, and obviously he balls out on the field.
Yeah, he does.
You got the records at Florida State. Total touchdowns, 97. Total offense, 10,554 yards. So very prolific career. Who was your favorite NFL team growing up?
Miami Dolphins. It was. Yes, sir. Being from South Florida, definitely Miami Dolphins.
Don't you agree that they should go back to the old uniforms?
I kind of like the new uniforms.
Oh,
I
do. Yeah, you're the one.
Right. You're the one. Wait, you like the old ones?
Yeah, I do. I don't mind the new ones, though. Yeah. I don't mind them. I don't.
A lot of fans want to go back to the old ones. But the boss, the owner of the team, won't.
Got you.
So when I turn on the film here, right, and get going, what's the game I should start with? And Jordan Travis's mind, where you go, oh, that'll be a good first impression for you to watch and get you going, Sims.
I would say Florida 2022.
Okay.
I felt that was kind of the game that boosted my confidence to the moon. I mean, I was out there making plays my feet, my arm, against a good Florida football team.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, SEC football is no joke.
Right.
But the ACC can hang right with them. So, yeah, man, I mean, I would say definitely Florida football.
You see how he got that in? The ACC can hang right with him.
Sir, 100%.
Yes, I'm not sure about that, but okay.
the people who set the four teams for the playoff weren't convinced of that.
100%.
How was that?
Because
you wouldn't have been able to play anyway, but still, the idea you guys had a special season and you didn't get the recognition and the opportunity to compete for the championship.
Yeah. We always say defense wins championships ever since I was a little boy. And our defense was so special. I think that was the one thing, I mean, that set us apart from everything else. Yeah, our offense was good the entire year, but the defense is what made us who we were. I think we're seeing it here at the Combine. You got D'Lo, Fisk, Fabo, all these guys that were out there just running fast and jumping high, all that type of stuff. So I think it speaks volumes. I think that everything that happened was wrong, I do. But you can't control it, so you just got to move past and – I'm looking forward to seeing Florida State win a lot of football games next year.
You going to put any emphasis, right? I know there's going to be talk about your size, right? You know, and I know you can't really lift as probably aggressively as you'd like right now and show your true self and what you can, you know, be there. But is that an emphasis for you to maybe put on a little weight, put a little armor on?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the easiest things for me. I mean, this year I started out 215.
Okay.
No one thinks I was 215, but I mean,
yeah, I would have thrown the challenge flag on that too. But now that you're saying it to me in person, I believe you.
So I weighed 207 last week, so obviously it goes up and down. Obviously, you can't really work out this leg, so I feel like once I'm healthy again, man, it's easy to put weight on. So I mean, I feel like this past year I was very good, and I mean, other than obviously this freak injury that I couldn't control and weight couldn't help me with this one, I was healthy throughout the entire year.
You were stuck. I was watching, actually, live, just sitting there. I happened to be watching the game, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Here goes the college football. All the crap's going to hit the fan here.
I mean, it's a damn shame that the injury happened when it did, and somebody's going to get a steal. I mean, that's the bottom line. They put too much emphasis, I think, on this short term. Like, why should it matter? This guy can play.
Right.
Why should he slide?
Right.
Somebody's going to get a hell of a good quarterback later than they would have if you'd have been healthy. And it's not fair to you, but it's just kind of the way it is. There's nothing you can really do about
it.
No, I know. Except wait for your chance and prove everybody that maybe they should have had more faith in
100%.
Me when they had the opportunity to take me.
I agree with you. I do agree. Yes, sir. I mean, it is what it is. I'm just looking for an opportunity. That's all I need. And I'm going to make an NFL football team very happy one day. So that's all I'm waiting for is opportunity, man, and I'm going to make the most of it.
So Tom Brady said to Robert Kraft, I'm the best decision you ever made.
Sir. Sir.
You didn't ask, but your brother,
sir.
Right? He played in the NFL.
He played MLB.
MLB,
yes,
baseball.
Sir.
Baseball. What position does he play?
Well, he played second base.
Second base?
He's a little guy.
Do you rely on him for advice on how to handle this next transition to pro sports?
Yeah. Well, that's my guy.
Right.
My brother's my best friend. He's 10 years older than me, but he's always been there for me. He was 16, I was 6, and he was still driving me around to all of his friends' houses. And I just always been his best man. So, I mean, he's the person I talk to every day about this type of stuff. He just motivates me and tells me to keep going, stay positive. And he's helped me through this process, this injury, and all my ups and downs throughout my career. So I'm so grateful for him, for sure.
Did you get to spend time in clubhouses with him when he was playing? Did you get a chance to go in there?
So mainly FSU. That was okay. After every single game, I used to go back there when I was a little boy, and that's kind of where my love for Florida State grew.
Yeah, yeah. Figured. So, right. That's where it happened. Do you play baseball?
I did when I was young, but I got hit in the head when I was – probably about 8 years old, and ever since then,
I'll go to the more dangerous sport and play football.
But you get hit by that ball one time, and that's it.
Yeah.
No more.
That's it. That is
now,
it.
Now he's volunteering for 350-pound guys to knock his head off.
But at least he can run away from them. You can't run away from that ball. No one is coming right at you.
You're right about that.
All right. Hey, Jordan, congratulations on your success. We're sorry about what happened to you. We look forward to seeing what you can do once it's ready to go and everything's healthy. Somebody's going to get a hell of a bargain, and we can't wait to see you play in the NFL.
Texas, so you kind of opened the door for us a little bit to get in that cut. So thanks for that, though. I appreciate that.
Jordan Travis, we'll be back with plenty more. Oh, no offense to any of our other guests all week long, but we've been waiting all week for this one.
You know it.
He is the man. He is the presumptive number one overall pick
number
in the draft.
One
it's just
pick,
a question of where
Chicago
he's going.
Bears.
Yeah. The Bears are on the clock.
Caleb Williams,
USC. Yep. Caleb Williams is with us. Hey, Caleb.
How's it going?
It's going great. It's going great. We still got the giggles from some of the stuff Chris said before the break, but everything he said is true, figuratively.
Been kissing his ass lately. Yeah. I should use another phrase
he started
before,
looking at the
but
film,
I won't go there.
And this is I've known him for 7 years, and he does the quarterbacks every year. This is the one year where it's like, it's this guy, and it's everybody else. There's no doubt. It's him, and it's everybody else.
I had a similar feeling last year with C.J. Stroud, where I was like, C.J.'s on another level. You're on another level. Like,
thank you.
Loved watching your game, man.
Thank you.
I mean,
thank you.
Truly. You know, I grew up, I don't know if you know anything about me. My dad played in the NFL for 15 years, won a Super Bowl, all that. I've seen people throw the football my whole life. I've caught passes from Brett Favre and Dan Marino.
Yeah.
Man, you got that kind of arm, man.
Thank you.
When did you know you had that kind of arm?
I'd say I knew when I was in the cul-de-sac in the neighborhood, tossing the ball across the cul-de-sac to the other side with my dad. I think that was a time that I knew I could throw the ball. And then after that, a few years later, we were, you know, transitioned to play quarterback.
Right, right. Yeah. Did you play baseball growing up? Never played baseball.
Never in my life.
That's shocking because you got, you know, some of that Mahomes delivery.
Yeah. I think it comes from swimming.
Right.
Being able to, you know, extend and have a good T-spine and things like that.
Right.
To be able to rotate and, you know, throw to any position.
Wow, that's interesting. That's the first time I've heard a quarterback talk about swimming incorporating it that way.
Yeah.
Damn. So, all right, and then who'd you get this great physical ability? Is it mom? Is it dad? Who's
I got to give
power
it to mom.
The family? Mom.
I'm not going to say the height. Mom's pretty short. She's like 5'1", but athletic ability, I'd probably say my mom.
Yeah.
But shout out to my dad for the height.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's good. I always love when mom gets love.
Yeah.
Always.
One of the things I love, and he knows me well, I love it when somebody's in a position to push back a little bit about everything that goes on here. You decided no medical testing.
Yep.
What led to that decision, and what kind of reaction, if any, have you gotten?
I mean, obviously, when you start doing things that's not traditional, whether you're at a school like USC.
And I support you 100%.
Yeah,
trust me.
Whether you're here at the combine been going on for, I don't know how many years, but a long time.
Right.
So I'd say the main thing has just been, you know, it was a decision with my family and my team. And it really came down to not all 32 teams can draft me. So I give all 32 teams my personal medical things. There's nothing there. I played all 30, how many ever games I played.
Remember you being banged up right to the slightest.
I've never came off the field unless my helmet came off and a ref took me off.
Right.
And so, you know, my thing has just been, you know, give it to the teams that are going to pursue me. So on my visits, I'll be doing medicals, but just decided not to do it here.
And it sounds to me like there will be a filter on where you're going to take visits. So let's be realistic about the teams that have a chance to get me. Why am I going to waste my time and your time to do all these things that aren't necessary because I kind of know where I'm going to go. It's fair to say.
Yeah, in a sense, I, you know, have an idea of where I'm going to go, not the place, but the
the general area of the draft.
We know the spot. You're going in the top two picks. You're going number one, bro. Just to let you know, you're going one. It's already done.
Yeah.
It's going to be boring. I'm not even going to talk about you that much because I'm going to kiss your ass for about another 10 days, and then I got to move on to other conversations.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, do you work with anybody right now?
Will Hewlett in Jacksonville. Will and Tom.
How long have you been working with them?
So I've known Will for – I just started working with Tom. They work together. But I've known Will for 22 now, so 12 years.
Yeah.
Haven't been working with him every year. But, you know, it's kind of cool, you know, to see things come back around and, you know, be with someone that I really enjoy training with and working with.
You're famous for all your highlight plays, which are amazing, and I want to talk about them in a minute. I mean, some of your scrambling one-arm throws and all that crap is incredible, right? But I was really impressed with, like, your mechanics in the pocket.
Yeah.
I mean, so I could tell.
I work on both.
You do,
I work really hard on both.
You do really.
I'm trying to, right now, I'm working on small, minute things, but the small, minute things turn into bigger things.
Like what? Give us one thing.
At week 17. Right. And so something small is just mastering my throwing ability. It took Tom Brady years. It took Aaron Rodgers years.
Everybody, it never stops.
As everybody knows, Aaron Rodgers came in up there, and now Aaron Rodgers may be down to his crotch area by the time he comes out at 39, 40 years old playing. And so, you know, he's a small base now and things like that. So just, you know, for me, I'm working on some of that, you know, finding my ways. We've done a couple biomechanical things where they test and put a bunch of cameras around me and they test where things are comparing to other QBs in the NFL that's done it at the best.
Anything jump out to you there?
Nothing there that was like, you know, I don't have to fix.
Right.
But just things that, you know, have worked for other QBs and not other QBs, but the best QBs. And so just trying to find my way within that path, you know, because one may be here, one may be here. Aaron Rodgers, a tight base. I'm Tom Brady, wide base. Drew Brees, even wider base. So just, you know, that's not something that I'm working on. I think I enjoy my base, but just to
give
you an
idea. Just trying to figure out what works for you.
Throughout the whole thing.
You understand, it's a craft, and it never ends. You're always trying to perfect your craft until the day you retire.
Yeah.
It's a great attitude.
Yeah. You went to that stupid school, OU, for a little bit, all right? Because I'm a Texas guy, I got to say that, right?
Yeah.
I know, but that, I don't care. Your coach leaves and goes to another. That's not an easy decision. You kind of started something in Oklahoma. You were the man. I know that school. They were probably all over you, red carpet. So, you know, how did you finally come to the decision to go, okay, I got to make this move as difficult as it is?
Yeah, big thing was that I built such a good relationship with Coach Riley. So that was huge. Next thing was that I didn't want to feel like a freshman.
Right.
Again.
Right.
My new playbook.
New coaches, that crap.
You don't really, you know, you can't really get heavily into the nuances of the playbook that deep. So that was big for me, was the not being a freshman thing again. Yeah. That was one of the biggest things. And then after that, it came down to, you know, do I like the new coaches more than I like Lincoln? Or, you know, are they the same?
Yeah.
And it just came down to
Lincoln.
Had a bond with Lincoln.
Yeah.
What quarterback did you idolize growing up?
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. That's. I feel like it's kind of standard. I've always said it. Your favorite quarterback's favorite quarterback is Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, now it's going to – another few years it's going to be Patrick Mahomes, right? But, I mean, yeah. What was it about him that you were like
– his ability to throw from any platform.
Right.
Whether he was in pocket, out of pocket, being able to place the ball exactly where he wants. A few of the Hail Marys were pretty cool.
Right.
You know, just his moxie.
Yeah.
His toughness. Been able to throw the ball.
How far can you throw it?
Yeah, a good one. I was going to get there.
70-some yards.
Yeah, 70.
Once you get past.
Once you get past 70, you just go, I don't really care. Right.
You never throw a ball 70 yards. So.
It's farther than most people on the planet.
Yeah. So I don't know, 70-something yards.
All right, here's one other thing. Nuance, like quarterback thing, right? I don't know. Do you know how you grip the football?
Yeah, I'm two and I've been one and like four in the past.
Right.
Now I'm 2 and 4 or 5.
2 or 4 or 5. I was a 2 and 5 guy. Yeah. So you got them both on the laces,
though.
But
no.
There's one under?
Pinky's
under.
In the little slot.
In the little slot there. Okay, so you're like a 2 and under 5, 2 and under 4. Okay, that's cool. See, these are the kind of things like some quarterbacks don't know, and I go, this guy's nuanced. I can tell we got a little bit of a...
No, this is different.
how you feel gripping, like you used an old ball in college, it looked like, at least to me. I don't know.
I customized the ball.
So you broke them in big time.
I break them in.
Okay.
I tell them break them in.
Yeah.
I don't like the little pebbly feeling.
Uh-huh.
To some, it may feel slick once it gets past the pebbly, but for me, it feels.
Oh, look at this. We got props.
You like
Carrot
the NFL
top.
Ball?
Carrot top. Here we go. We got
you like
props.
The NFL ball?
This is my favorite football.
I mean, you don't want this one.
No, I don't want this one.
But show us the grip. Yep. Yeah, so there he is. He's two and, like, right on four. Okay, yeah, I like it. Yeah. All right. Yeah. And so, but you like the NFL football?
Yeah, it's the best football in the world.
Right? The laces and everything?
Laces,
you're like,
the way
damn.
It spins. It always spins.
It always spins.
Always.
We got to let him go.
Damn, but do we have
can
to?
Can I ask you a favor?
Yeah.
I know you don't know me well enough. I'm going to ask you a favor anyway. I want you to look right into that camera,
yep.
And I want you to say, I will only play for the Minnesota Vikings. Will you please do that?
He's so scared. He's a Vikings fan. He's so scared you're going to Chicago. He was so disappointed
Let
when I was like,
it.
It's time to go. Caleb's number one.
Yeah. All right, Caleb, you're the man.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Good
impressive.
Luck,
Caleb
you.
Williams.
Bye.
We'll be
Thank
back
you.
With more
Looking
from
forward
Indy.
To it, man.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Continuing our coverage of the 2024 NFL Scouting Combine, it's running back time, and we got a guy who we had a ball here. I was going to say, let's do some Oklahoma drills with Braylon Allen and Chris Sims. Braylon, welcome to the program.
Let's see if he can pick you up and body slam you.
No, but let's not do
let's
that.
Just do that. Let's just end it right there. We'll just figure it out from there.
How are you?
I'm very good. Very good. It's been a great week. Great experience so far.
Yeah. It's when you were growing up, who was your team growing up?
I was kind of all over the place. I liked a lot of different players. So I was kind of, you know, Giants fan. I liked Victor Cruz.
Okay. All right. Go
Melvin
ahead, go
Gordon
through.
Obviously was my guy.
Yeah.
He went to the Chargers.
Right.
So I think most of the time throughout high school, I was mostly Chargers fan.
You're following players, though,
yeah.
More than actual team.
Exactly.
Yeah, got you.
6'2", 245, and only 20 years old. A lot of guys
the youngest
only
20 year
ever. Years old.
Right. I mean, guy can he can break tackles and crush people. He can't drink a beer yet. He's
when
not
did
there
you
yet.
When did you get as big as you are? What age?
Definitely high school. I didn't start lifting till freshman year. So I got to say, kind of going into my sophomore year, I was probably about 6 foot, 210. And then I'd say beginning of junior year, I was about 230 by then. So kind of through that sophomore, junior year range.
Where did the – because there was defense, right?
Yeah.
You were recruited at. How did the transition to running back happen?
Yeah, so – kind of throughout, you know, that process, it was kind of in the midst of COVID, so all of our school was virtual, and, you know, I reclassified going into my junior year, so I skipped my senior year, so I reclassified up, and our fall season got canceled due to COVID, so we played in the spring.
Right.
And like you said, I was recruited as a defensive player, committed to Wisconsin as a safety, and we kind of weren't sure whether I was going to be a safety or a linebacker, so... During that spring season, that was kind of the first time I played running back in high school. And I wanted to make sure that the coaches had the film so that they could decide if I was going to play safety or linebacker.
How come nobody thought about putting you a running back before that?
That's a good question. I don't really know. I was kind of – my mindset was defense in high school. That's what I wanted to do.
Right.
So there was a month between my last high school game and when I got on campus. And
Damn.
2 weeks before I got there, Coach Chris called me. It was like, you're going to play running back when you get here. And that was cool with me. So,
well, like, just real quick, like high school, what made it finally just go? Hell, let's go at running back. Why did the high school coach do it finally?
We didn't have one,
so he was like, this guy's a freak of nature. Let's get him the
exactly.
ball.
Exactly.
All right.
Is that one of the reasons why you play running back the way you do? You kind of play with a defensive player's mentality. You're going to deliver the hit before they can deliver the hit to
yeah,
you.
Exactly. It's exactly my mindset. Every time I touch the ball, I want to punish somebody. You know, put somebody on a highlight clip. So. Definitely that defensive mindset, just physical downhill, try to wear defenses down.
Who's the one guy that you got the best, the hardest?
There's a guy from Iowa this past year, a little shovel pass. And, it was ugly scene.
Was it DB, linebacker?
It was a DB.
DB, and he thought he could lower his shoulder and hang in there with you. Did you go down, or did you just run right over?
Oh no, it was right over. We're gonna have to find the clip.
He train tracks like just he just put
exactly.
him down.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Flipping around though, who's the guy that hit you the hardest?
Ah, man, that's a tough one. I think I gotta say the craziest hit I've ever taken was in practice, and it was by a guy that's here actually, Muma Jungmeta. He had the craziest play I've ever seen. This guy's like, the craziest, like, he can bend in ways that I've never seen before. So we were doing inside run at practice, and we were running, like, power. And the guard was pulling for him, and he literally just, like, kind of, like, maneuvered his body and ducked under the guard at the mesh and absolutely blew me up.
Yeah, wow. You just caught, like, did you see, you didn't see him coming?
Yeah, I didn't see him, and
right.
I was kind of, like taking a step, like, in the air a little bit. Right. And it just looked really bad.
Yeah, yeah. And so everyone went, ooh, yeah. Right? That's it, because when somebody like you gets hit, they go, oh, my gosh, I can't believe he got hit like that. Are you working out?
Yes.
You can do everything?
I'm not going to run the 40 or do shuttle and three cone here.
Okay.
But at pro day.
Okay, so you're going to give yourself a little more time.
Exactly.
Get ready for that, right? You know, what's been, like, one of the hardest things, right? You know, I was here 20 years ago. You know, what was the hardest thing, like, drill-wise for you to kind of figure out through this process, or the one thing that gave you, it was a pain in the ass?
I think the one is I think they call it the T-drill.
Yeah.
Where you got the three bags. There's two going this way and one this way. And you go over, back, over, back.
Yeah.
And it's like a lot of rhythm. But I think going from my left to the right was easy. But it was going from the right to the left, and then that transition in the back of the bags to come back forward was the most difficult. But I ended up, I'm smooth with it now. So.
Yeah, good.
I see Wisconsin running back. I see 245 pounds. I think of Ron Dane. Remember
of course,
Ron Dane from the Giants?
Yeah.
Thunder and Lightning, him and Tiki.
Jersey guy.
He was 5'10", 249. This is 6'2", 245. This is Derrick Henry. This is get out of this guy's way.
Together. Ron had a little bit of a belly. He didn't quite have all this right here.
I mean, but really, this is you got – This is the kind of guy that they're not going to want to tackle in the
No
NFL.
Doubt. I mean, this is the kind of guy where in the fourth quarter you start to go, damn, this is getting tiring right here. That's what you did at Wisconsin. You probably enjoyed that, huh?
Yeah. That was definitely a focus for me this year. I think just trying to run the ball as hard as I could, like, the first few series. And I realized, when I was really lowering my shoulder and trying to punish defenders, the fourth quarter, second half was a completely different
game. They're turning them down. They're getting a little tired. They're starting to lean and not look and all that, right?
Hey, Braylon, what do you make of all the talk that's been going on in recent years in the NFL about the running back position and they split up the carries? You don't get the chance to be that guy that still has a full head of steam in the fourth quarter when the defenses don't want any more of it. What do you think about this next level where it feels like the running back position's been minimized in recent years?
I think it's good for any running back to have a running mate. I mean, I felt like I was always at my best when, I was sharing the backfield with Chez, and I think we complemented each other very well. He was kind of he was a little smaller than me, kind of faster, more shifty guy. And obviously, kind of that thunder and lightning mix that you guys had talked about. And I think that's good for anybody. And I think you see guys who are used to having that kind of running mate. And then, one of them, isn't playing or go somewhere else, and then I think it's hard to kind of carry the full load yourself. I think two really good running backs are necessary, and I think it's good for every running back. You're taking the load off your body and those hits off your body, and you're still both able to wear the defense down. I think having to deal with two really good backs is a little tougher for defenses to have to deal with one. So.
Yeah. Make your career a little longer. Yeah. Get a few extra paychecks.
No doubt.
Right? That's the best thing about it. How about your thing you're looking at here, going into the NFL? I need to improve this in my game. What would that be?
Yeah, I just want to, of course, everything. I think I want to, everything is the easy answer.
Yeah.
I want to be the best in every single area, be as well-rounded as possible. But I think one thing I really want to put an emphasis and focus on is just winning in open space at a very high consistent rate. I think when I do that, I'll be a very dangerous player.
Making people miss in space a little bit more, not always looking to run them over and do that, right? Yeah.
Who was your idol growing up in the NFL?
It was Melvin Gordon. He was the guy that made me fall in love with football. A Wisconsin kid, obviously watching the Badgers every Saturday. His last season, specifically the game against Nebraska, 408, four touchdowns. I can vividly remember watching that game and that kind of being – the point for me where I was like, this is what I want to do. So Melvin Gordon's my guy. We have a great relationship today, which is awesome for me. So,
What's the best advice he's given you?
Yeah.
Ooh. I mean, he's given me a lot. We talked a lot. I was able to train with him a little bit, go over to his house down in Miami this past spring. We chopped it up, obviously, a lot. And I don't know. I think the biggest thing that I've gotten from all the Badger backs, Melvin, JT, Ron, James White, Monty, everybody's just said, keep the main thing the main thing. That's going to be the best way for you to kind of continue your success. You know, don't let the off-field things distract you, pull you away from what really matters, and that's football.
Melvin's a freak like you. I mean, right? I mean, muscles everywhere, yeah. Right? You're training. You a big-time heavy weightlifter, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, so yeah. High school, like I said, is kind of really when I started, and I learned pretty quickly that I was a strong guy.
Right.
I was a wrestler growing up, so, like, I always knew that I was, like, you know, stronger than most kids my age.
Right.
But when I got to high school, I actually, going into my junior year, I hang cleaned 405. So at the time, Saquon was blown up for power cleaning it. I hang cleaned it, which is a little tougher just because you don't have the momentum
from the ground.
Yeah, the
ground, right.
So I hang cleaned 405 in high school. I squatted 585, bent somewhere like 350 or something. And then college, I power cleaned 406, added a pound to the bar.
Okay.
Squatted 610, and right now I bench probably close to 400.
Damn. Yep. Middle linebackers and safeties, welcome to Braylon
Watch
Allen.
Out. All right, hey, Braylon, congratulations on your success. All the best at the next level. He's Wisconsin running back Braylon Allen heading to the NFL. We'll be back with more from Indianapolis.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Oh, we continue our coverage of the 2024 NFL Scouting Combine. We have pivoted from quarterbacks to running backs. Joining us now, the son of a legend, the son of a future Hall of Famer, the son of the number three all-time leading rusher in the National Football League, following in his dad's footsteps at the position in the family business, Frank Gore Jr. What's up, Frank?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're great, man. I see your dad in you.
Oh, totally, right? See it right in the eyes.
I get that a lot.
I'm sure. So, you know, I've known your dad for a long time. We had a great relationship, right? I'm going to give you a little backstory, right? So when he was retiring, right, it was like Hall of Famer, blah, blah, blah. Is he the Hall of Famer, right? And I kind of was like, I'm not sure if he's a Hall of Famer.
He's not a Hall of Famer.
I'm not sure. I said what I said. And your dad heard it, right? And us being friends. And, man, he was pissed at me for a little bit. And I wanted no part of that. I didn't want to mess with your dad. I know he'd book me in a second. But we're good now. And he is a Hall of Famer.
For sure.
I've adjusted my thoughts on that. I really have. You know, hey, it's a tough thing sometimes with the guys who have a short career or long career. And I will say I was wrong.
And he was the only thing those 49ers teams had those first few years. He was the magnet, and he still got his yards.
Yes,
and they didn't have anything else.
Yeah.
You know, for a lot of us, we reached an age where we knew if we had to, we could take dad. Like, if it went down, I could take dad. Have you gotten to the age yet where you think if it went down, you could take dad, or is dad still? Oh, yeah? When was it?
Just now. This is here.
You just turned the corner.
Yeah.
He turned the corner to old, and you're thriving, right?
I'm in my prime.
All right. I'd like to see that, actually. Damn, dad's boxing. You been boxing with him at all? Doing any of that?
I'm not into the boxing.
No.
But I'll take him for sure.
Yeah, I like it. Good. I'm going to tell him that, too, when I see him. I'm a son of an ex-NFL player, right? My dad played quarterback for 15 years for the Giants. You know, how did you handle the pressure of being Frank Gore's son as a kid?
I feel like you got to embrace it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, in a way, everyone wants to see you fail. Not outsiders, but people who's close, they feel like, oh, it's your spoon fed.
Yeah, you've been lucky already.
Be lucky, yeah. I know. But they don't understand that you have to go and put the work in yourself, and
right.
how much expectation come with the name, and a lot of other things that shouldn't be
part of the conversation
on a young kid. Yeah. But I definitely embraced it, and I look at it as a blessing to have this name and to look up to that great role model.
Yeah, yeah. I had the same type of attitude. I really did. When did you know, like, damn, I got a chance. I got a chance here to go to college football, be a baller in the NFL. What age was it?
I'll say about 15.
15?
15.
Freshman, sophomore year?
Sophomore, end of my sophomore year.
End of your sophomore
year. I learned, like, yeah, I'm different in this game.
Right.
Was there a moment?
A play or anything?
I'll say that spring football going into sophomore year, but the spring football, so my first play, like, I was going to a new school, so they had everything kind of, like, settled out. But I was playing corner, and, like, my first play at running back, like, they let this other guy start. And then my first play at running back, like, I just scored, like, a 70-yarder.
Right.
Like, first touch of the game.
Right.
And I just knew from there.
And like, you were like, what the hell are you doing starting the other guy? Right? Like, what the F are we doing out here?
Apparently got a picture
of Frank
Jr. from 2013. Let's have a look.
NFC Championship game, yeah. Atlanta. They were down 17-0, came back and won. Wow, look at that. That shirt's a little big on you, man.
Yeah, that's his shirt.
I know, I figured. That's awesome. So you got to be around Dad a lot through the career, be in some locker rooms and experience all that.
Yeah, for sure. I've been with my dad every step of the way. Yeah. He's been with me every step of the way. We kind of laugh about how we're brothers, really. Like, we grew up together. Like, he had me when he was young.
Real young, right.
So now we're growing up together.
Right.
We're maturing together. And we joke about that all the time.
When I heard this year that Frank Gore had a son that was coming out in the NFL, I was like, what? How'd that happen?
Well, and you know what's going to help you, too? Being around it when you were growing up. This is something Patrick Mahomes talked about. Even though his dad played baseball, being in that environment with pro athletes.
Yeah.
It makes it easier when it's time for you to make that transition. You've been there at an age where it's no big deal. I've been here before. I've done this before. And you'll make that transition a lot more smoothly than other guys will.
Yeah, for sure. My dad actually told me and my brother that my brother, he played for Wisconsin,
right.
Ricardo Hallman.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
He actually tells us, like, we've been pro for a really long time. Like, the schedule he give us, the
right.
process that he put us through, the test, like, the little things that he probably test us on that – we probably didn't see it at so young.
You thought,
like,
dad being a jerk or whatever, right?
But he said, like, we've been a pro for quite a long time. So I definitely feel like I have an advantage for sure.
Yeah.
But it's all on me to make sure I go get it.
Yeah. Yeah. We know dad was your favorite player growing up, all right? But, like, even me, my dad, I was like, man, Troy Aikman's still awesome, Dad.
Yeah,
right? I'm rooting for you today, but Troy's awesome, right? So who else did you like or admire growing up?
Growing up, I watched a lot of LeSean McCoy because, like, as I was younger, that's what I felt like I related to. Like,
right.
But my favorite player now is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, okay. Running back, giving the quarterback some love. Yeah, he's been a lot of people's favorite player here this week.
Well, and it'd be nice to play with Patrick Mahomes if it came down to it, wouldn't it? It's where you get some rings, because they're going to continue to be competing after and chasing those rings. Your dad played for a lot of different teams. What was your favorite team that your dad played for?
Oh, Miami. I was at every game. After high school games.
Yeah.
Those Fridays, he was at my games, and Sundays, I was at his games.
Wow.
Yeah. That was pretty cool for when he was in Miami.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, you know, you're right in the hometown there, definitely. All right, so, you know, you talked about Mahomes, right? But I get that. That's offense. Who's the guy you get to the NFL, defensive side of the ball, you know, you're looking forward to seeing or being out there on the field with? Or you don't even go to anybody.
It's actually a guy here, Dallas Turner.
Oh, okay.
That's like one of my friends.
You know him from, like, high school in Florida days?
Yeah,
you
from back
you Florida guys stick together. I know that.
Yeah, and we never got to play with each other, but, like, we're close, so, like, we always talk, like,
right.
Oh, we play here, we play there. But I'm pretty looking forward to playing against him.
Yeah, yeah. Give him some bragging. Hope you can break his ankles a little. Get some bragging rights. South Florida.
Yeah, I'm going to get him for sure. I'm going to get him for sure.
You're going to work out tomorrow?
Yes, sir. I'm going to be doing the position drills and the bench.
Okay, okay.
Yes,
no 40, none of that yet.
No, sir.
You're going to wait till a pro day?
Yes, sir.
All right. And if you had to look at your game right now, right, what's one thing you look at and go, you know, I can be better in this area going into the NFL?
I say I want to continue to get stronger.
Okay.
Try to translate my game directly over. The success I had in college came from me being able to break tackles, run through arm tackles. Like the little things that running backs have to run through,
yeah,
that came from me being strong and durable. So I want to be able to carry that over to the next level.
Yeah.
Who's the guy you've hit the hardest in college?
I've hit the hardest?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a DB from Tulane. Mm-hmm. I actually played with him at the East-West Shrine Bowl game.
Which you were the MVP of.
Yeah, facts.
Right.
And he went the other way when you walked through the door, right?
Nah, he actually came up to me and told me, "You got me." He came up to me. I actually forgot about it.
How did it happen?
I met him on the sideline, and I wasn't going to go out of bounds. That's our rival, so I wanted to make a statement, and I got the best of him for sure.
Jarius Monroe, is that who it
was?
Yes,
yes. He's a good player as well.
He was the defensive MVP, and Frank was the offensive MVP.
Damn. You knocked some sense into him. So like I'm looking here, right? And our producer, he gives us some little nuggets about you, and I'm looking and going, wait, there's passing stats on here. His name is Gore, but he can throw the football, right? Did you played some QB in high school too?
Yes.
Wow. Damn, I wasn't expecting
college
that.
College as well.
I missed that. I don't know. I just thought it was Frank Gore, running back, whatever, seven touchdowns, right? One interception.
I got the nickname the Superback in college.
The Superback?
Yes.
Right? Well, why? Because he's like, you don't know I'm going to do?
I can run, catch, and throw.
Damn.
So they gave me the Superback.
Okay. All right. Did you get recruited by, you know, any of the, you know, big schools coming up? Or was size like a concern?
Once that in high school, size was a concern.
Right.
But I put that size stuff to rest my freshman year, and I heard like through the grapevine, all the bigger schools were saying I should transfer. I love my school. I had no reason to transfer.
Right.
Great teammates, great coaches, getting a great degree. So I was pretty comfortable where I was, and I just knew if I worked, I can be in this position.
Yeah. What's your degree in?
Business, and I'm going to go back and get sports management.
There we go.
What was your dad's favorite teammate, right? Like, you know, or you're like your favorite teammate, or what am I trying to say?
I know
your
favorite, the one I like the most.
The one you like the most.
Michael Crabtree.
Okay.
Richard Sherman's favorite.
Damn.
That's my guy.
Right. Yeah, he's personality fun. Right. So he always brought you under his wing a little bit when you were in the locker room.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are some of the best experiences I still remember about, you know, my dad's career for sure.
Hey, well, Frank, tell dad we said hi.
Yes, sir.
And I look forward to seeing both of you at his Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony that Chris will not be invited to.
I'll make sure you get it.
Oh, thanks, man.
It's Frank Gore Jr. All the best going forward, and we can't wait to see what you do in the NFL.
Thank you, guys. Same to you guys.
Thanks for joining us. All right, that's Frank Gore. We'll be back with more from the Combine. We continue our coverage of the 2024 NFL Scouting Combine.
Fuck you, Florio.
Thank you so much.
We're going with it.
Blake, I'm sorry. We've been here all week, and we're getting loopy, as you can imagine. Pardon the language in advance. I'm sure
not really pardon. He's in a locker room.
In Michigan, they don't talk like this.
Right. Bull crap,
Texas, yes.
I know some of those guys in Michigan. They talk like that. Is Harbaugh a swearer? Does he swear at all?
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't swear.
He doesn't. He'll use other words.
Other words that you know. No,
you know he's swearing, but he doesn't say them.
Right, like what? Like what was he like? So what, he just like gosh hell or
yeah, like something like that. You know, I'm trying to think of something. Can't really think of nothing, but yeah, he doesn't swear, man.
That's our football coach when I was a kid was cheese and crackers was his big one. Instead of saying Jesus Christ, he'd say cheese and crackers.
Cheese and crackers.
Because it's a Catholic school, you know, you can't take the Lord's name in vain. You go to hell.
Definitely.
So, anyway, we are getting a little loopy. We've been here all week. Hey, How long you been here?
Since Tuesday.
Are you getting loopy?
Nah, I was, man. Day two got me. Day two got me, but I'm back. I'm back. You know.
What was day two? Tell us, what was it?
Man, it was a long night. So day two, it was really actually.
A lot of interviews? Was that interviews and medical and all that crap?
Yeah. So day one, I stayed up until like 12:30. I was working out.
Right.
I had to get my workout in. And so I probably went to bed at 2. I had to be up at 6. And then it was interviews, right? Interviews all morning and so forth. But that night, got some good sleep. I'm back.
So you're back.
Back light.
You're back. All right. So you're doing everything tomorrow. What are you doing?
I'm doing everything. But the 40.
Okay.
We got a late start.
Yeah.
My agent said do it at pro.
Yeah. Give yourself some time.
Everyone's gonna be there. You know. So my first day of training was until February. So Yeah, he said, I'm running fast right now.
I think he just said shit. Did you hear that?
That's okay. When in Rome.
Welcome to the show. I mean, so here's another thing that's amazing about the guy. Called his shot, right? Put pressure on all the Michigan, UM. I mean, he put it at the basketball game last year when he said he was coming back, right? Because they weren't sure he might go to the NFL. He said, I got an unfinished business. We're going to win the national championship next year. I guarantee it. You got some kahunas there, man.
Big.
Yeah.
They're big, man. Yeah. You know, I stood on all 10.
What made you feel that, just the empowerment to say that?
I knew what it took, you know, and we were in the college football playoff back-to-back years. You know, so when you know what it takes and you know what you think will fix it,
right,
you go at it.
Yeah.
You know, and then you set your goals big. So me being in the stadium, I wasn't doing nothing yet. My knee was still – I was still in the process of recovering. But I told him, I was like, we're going to win the national championship. Once I said that, we had to stand on it.
Yeah.
We had to stand on it. We couldn't back down. We couldn't, you know, let our fans down, let the community down. And so we went to work.
Yeah.
We went to work. We fixed the small things. You know, we were precision. You know, that's what Coach Herb always taught us, being precise in everything we do, from the way we make our beds to the way we aligned our shoes. It was a small thing, man.
Yeah. You guys were on a mission. I could tell from week one when I covered your game there in Ann Arbor.
You hoping maybe get a chance to play for Coach Harbaugh again?
Yeah, man, that would be great. You know, that would be great. Like I said, I enjoyed my 4 years playing for Coach Harbaugh. You know, everything you want in the coach, he has. He loves the game of football. You know, he loves his players, and he loves winning, most importantly, and that's what I like. You know, everyone hates losing, right? I just want to win. I don't care if I don't get no touches that game. I just want to win, you know. And so, you know, playing for Coach Harbaugh would be great.
There's some critics out there, and I think it goes back to his time in San Francisco. They say, oh, he's difficult, he's hard to get along with. It's like, the guy wants to win. He wants to win. If you got a problem with that, it's your problem, not his.
Exactly. I think people get that confused, right? They want to feel bad about themselves, but Coach Harbaugh, all he wants to do is win. And if you can't respect that and buy in, then maybe you're not the player for the team, or maybe you just need to go play a different sport.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
Right. This ain't band camp.
No, it's not. You know, right. So Coach Harbaugh is going to win. He likes
to win. What's your favorite Jim Harbaugh saying?
I was saying, who's got it better than us? You know, I love when he says that, especially after a good win. When he says that, it gets the hair sticking up on your eye, because no one does.
Yeah.
No one does, man. And, you know, that's probably definitely one of my favorites.
How about yourself? What's something you look at right after this great college career? You go, I can get better in this area.
Everything, man.
Yeah.
Every dang thing. I've been at that my whole life, man. I'm never satisfied.
Yeah.
And just because I hear my name called, you know, God willing, I'm not going to be satisfied. You know, that's just going to give me more energy to go. Like, just because I got there doesn't mean I'll stay there.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to put in work each and every day. So I'm excited. You know, I'm going to go 10 times harder. And, you know, so, you know, just critiquing myself. Like I said, my whole game, you know, I'm working on, you know, just trying to better myself each and every day.
You guys were on a mission. I know you guys had great self-confidence, right? Was there ever a point this year in a game? I mean, I'm thinking of one especially, just to me, but where you were like, man, we're in trouble. Like, I don't know if we're going to pull this out. I'm actually thinking more specifically 20-13, you know, Final Four game there. Yeah, Alabama's up.
I mean, that was a game that scared me. But we've been through a lot.
Yeah.
And I told him, if we get the opportunity to go in overtime, we're going to win.
Yeah.
And we were, last drive, we were able to, you know, capitalize. But the game when I knew we were going to win it all was Penn State.
Is that right?
Yeah. We second half, we ran it 32 times straight without a pass.
That is incredible.
You know.
That showed the will of your team, right?
You know, and once we established that, dang, we're physical, we're gritty.
Did you guys talk trash to the Nittany Lions there? Like, damn, you can't even stop us. You know what's coming.
No need to talk trash.
they knew.
I mean, you run it 32 times straight. You know, that's something serious.
It's
insane. That's the game I knew we were really special.
If we're going to look at your film, one game that shows the world what Blake Corum can do, what game would you want us to look at?
Alabama, overtime. You know, Penn State, when we run the ball 32 times.
Yeah.
But Alabama, just that grit and that tenacity, just get in the end zone, find a way, you know. And when the pressure's on you, what are you going to do? You going to fold, or you going to, you know?
They're a lot like you guys, like Alabama. They have the same mantra, mindset.
Same mantra. That's what I enjoyed the Rose Bowl more than I did the national championship.
Yeah, right. Did you? I mean, it, I don't know. It kind of seemed inevitable, honestly, in the national championship game. I felt like the game before.
I'll say it for you. We respected Washington.
Yeah, I know you did. I know. Rose Bowl. There's something about being in that building.
It's the Rose Bowl,
as
right,
the day
exactly.
gets long, it goes from sunshine to
the evening when you come out the second half.
You know, I mean, it was nothing better. And we got to practice in the Rams Stadium. And we're like, man, this is beautiful.
Right.
Rose Bowl is kind of like,
yeah, it's old and outdated.
Once you get in the Rose Bowl, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
This really is
a special environment. The mountains in the background, the palm trees, right?
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't get Chris Jenkins to do his Jim Harbaugh impersonation. I hear it's pretty good. Is it as good as advertised?
He's just one of a kind. You know, that's what makes Coach Harbaugh special.
Is Jenkins good at it?
Is he good? Is it a good impersonation?
I think Jenkins is pretty good. I think he did it at Big Ten Media Day.
Yeah.
I don't remember Chris Jenkins. He might have did it one time when I saw
him. Anybody else on the team do a good one?
Nah, Jenks. Because Jenks brings the enthusiasm.
Yeah.
So Jenks
the enthusiasm
unknown to mankind. That's right. That's right.
How about who's your running back growing up? Who was the guy you looked at?
Yeah, so I mean, if I was talking about that I watched, you know, on TV, it'd probably be like Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
Marion the Barbarian.
Right.
You know, rest in peace.
Yeah.
But I watched a lot of YouTube of Barry Sanders, man.
Yeah.
I think he's the best ever. The best ever do, how elusive he was. His vision, his stop and go ability. Like,
right.
That's who I try to, you know, take some pieces away from and add it to my own game.
You got some legs like him.
Yeah, he was a
Quadzilla over here. I wish they could see your legs behind here.
I got a good Barry Sanders story. Yeah. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But in 1987, he was the backup to Thurman Thomas in Oklahoma State. When Colorado was getting ready to play Oklahoma State, the scouting report was, don't hurt Thurman Thomas.
Yeah, because we don't
the other guy's better.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Yeah. There's been a few teams like that and everything. All right, who was your favorite team growing up, NFL?
I was a Cowboys fan, even though just because my dad.
Yeah.
He just took after him. He
was an old-timer that liked him in the 70s.
Not really. So it was more so his family. They were, at the time, Washington Redskins fans, now Commanders. And there's a rivalry between the two. So he didn't want to be different. You know?
Yeah, that's this guy, right?
That's
his whole family Steelers
that's
fans.
Right.
He chose the Vikings, right?
Okay,
because of that.
My dad just wanted to be different.
Vikings need a running back now, too. I kind of like this kid.
You should like it.
Good and purple.
You should like
Not
it.
Far from Michigan.
That makes sense. Yeah. Definitely. No doubt about that. Who's the guy you're most excited to see in the NFL, like on the field, or just get a first look at him and go, man, that guy right there, I've always dreamed of seeing him on the field?
You know, There's a lot, you know, just being on the field with the greats right now, Patrick, Lamar, you know, all the great defensive players, you know.
Is there a running back that sticks out to you right now that you really like or look at right now?
I mean, I've been talking to Aaron Jones a little bit because where I'm training, so I think he's a great player.
He's a baller.
You know, he's a baller, and so I've talked to him a little bit, but you know, I'm just excited to be in the league and meet everyone.
Yeah,
you know,
good,
meet
man.
Everyone. It's going to be a good time.
Good.
Well, hey, Blake, congratulations on all your success at Michigan. Congratulations on calling your shot and coming through. We can't wait to see what you do at the next level. He is Michigan running back Blake Corum. Thanks for some of your time, pal. Have a great rest of the week.
Appreciate it, y'all.
Yeah, Blake.
We'll be back with more after this.
Appreciate it.
All right, we continue our coverage of the 2024 NFL Scouting Combine. It's running back day.
It's Longhorn Reunion Day.
Here we go. Jonathan Brooks. It's another one. So we've had did you set the schedules like every guy from Texas here this week on this set?
We're fucking back, man. We're back. That's why we were back in the big time. We got ballers again. What's
yes,
up,
sir.
Man?
This yes, guy, sir.
He was leading the charge. I mean, who knows what would have happened this year, you know? I mean, we were close. We were really close.
Yeah, we were.
How you feeling, man?
I feel good. Yeah. Mentally and physically, I'm good.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Good to go?
Yes, sir.
Right? I mean, what was it like this year at Texas? I can only imagine. I mean, we were really good when I was there. But when they know you got a national championship type of, you know, football team, what was the excitement in Austin this year?
I mean, it was really exciting on and off the field. On the field, I mean, I feel like it really just came from the culture that we built around the team.
Right.
It was a lot of time and effort that we put into it on the offseason, just really getting to know each other as a team, doing stuff that was off script, you know what I mean? Doing stuff on our own, scheduling meetings on our own, and just doing everything that a championship team would do.
Right.
One of the things I always say is special players stand out young. and I see your senior year at Hallettsville High School, and I look at these numbers, it's like, this can't be real. 295 carries, 3,530 yards, and 62 touchdowns.
Man amongst boys.
What? When look at the
There's
numbers.
The game log right
My
there.
God, he had 501 yards.
304?
Thanksgiving weekend. When did you know that you were great at carrying the football?
I'm going to say not until this last year. I mean, I believed in myself, obviously. But really just doing it at the next level really added a lot more confidence to myself. And obviously, I mean, those are great numbers. But, you know, I really just – I like to – I think I got better as time went on, as I started to learn defenses, learn schemes, and really started to perfect my craft.
What are you pushing yourself to get better at?
Really pass protection is what I really want to. And getting my upper body stronger. You know, it was a little – unfortunately, I got hurt, so it was a little took a little time off of lifting because I had to. But you know, just getting back stronger.
How'd you work on your patience? I mean, you're the man, you're the stud, dominating Texas football, and then you get to Texas and go, damn, they got some ballers here at running back. I got to get Bijan Robinson, Roschon Johnson. I mean, how did you kind of compartmentalize that in your brain?
I mean, it felt not natural, but it felt natural. I mean. I expected to go in there and play, but I mean, it made it a lot easier to accept being that, I mean, those are two great dudes on and off the field, great running backs. And I learned a lot from them. That was practice habits, how to carry yourself off the field.
Right.
And from Bijan, he taught me a lot religiously. You know, I really followed him because he was a big believer in Christ, and he portrayed that on social media and everything that he did. So, it really, that was something that I took from him that was really amazing. And just, like, just the character off the field, like how to take care of your body, how to treat people around a facility, how to carry yourself going to class and stuff like that. I mean, those are just two great guys, and I continue to talk to them time to time.
Yeah.
So. What's the best advice you've gotten as you go through this process?
I guess advice from anybody is going to kind of essentially be the same. I mean, it's a business, so you got to learn how to take care of your body first and foremost when whatever you do. With me, my knee, just learning the game mentally. My running back coach, Coach Choice, he's been through everything I've been through. He's been through this process, so he has a lot of insight on stuff that I need to work on, stuff that's coming, and I think everything that he's prepared me for is exactly what it was.
Where are we at? I mean, that stunk, man, when you hurt your knee. I mean, I just want to be like, man, we're going to beat Washington if you're healthy. Like, we didn't get to show our full strength.
Yeah.
Right? But where are we at in, you know, the rehab process right now?
So I'm in week 12, so I'm 3 months out of surgery. This week I start running.
Okay.
So I get in a pool, treadmill, anything like that, and I just start jogging, running, getting back to that motion.
Right. If you were healthy, right, and I'm not trying to, like, you know, put words in your mouth or put you on the spot, but like, if you were healthy and you were here running, like, what do you think you'd run? Like, you know, general time frame,
I'd probably say 4.5, 5 flat,
yeah,
somewhere in that area,
yeah, right there. You'd yes, four with the high 4.4s, but maybe 4.5,
right.
4.51.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, gotcha.
Who was your idol growing up?
My idol growing up, probably my father. I really idolized him a lot. Just you know, he was a great father. He did a lot for us. For me and my brother, he supported us through football. He was my coach up until high school. So, you know, I was really with him a lot, and he taught me a lot about football.
You think about going anywhere else in the recruiting process, or is it kind of like you had your sights on Texas all along?
It was mainly Texas all
yeah,
along.
Yeah, yeah. You grew up. Why? I mean,
as a little kid, I grew up a Texas fan, and then it's close to home. And then, honestly, they was the first team to believe me. They were my first offer. I really liked the coaching staff. My parents were big in my recruiting, so it was, like I said, close to home, but not close enough to where I could go home every day.
And Texas is king of Texas.
And they had a good history of running backs. So.
Yeah, they did. Damn.
Yes. Well, you can compare to Jamal Charles. That's a pretty good guy to be compared to. How much do you see of your style and what he's done?
I kind of do see it now that people are kind of comparing me to him, but, you know, I try to be myself. I try to just do everything I can to better myself as a player. Obviously, I take a lot of tips from other running backs, but like I said, I just try to perfect my own craft.
You're bigger and more physical than Jamal was. You know, Jamal is a different style of builder.
He's a lot faster,
too. Yeah, he is fast as hell, right? I mean, you know, when you average over five yards a carry in the NFL for your career, he was really damn good. Did you ever get a chance to, you know, meet Ricky Williams or Priest Holmes or anybody like that?
Yeah, I met Ricky Williams, and I meet Jamal Charles. He's at games, he's at practices and stuff.
Right.
And they're really cool to talk to. Just, you know, it's really cool that those are so high-level names, and Texas gives you the opportunity to meet people like that, you know, the connections, and just it feels normal in a sense.
Yeah.
You know, Vince Young is around there and a bunch of other Texas
big-time ballers. Yes, yeah, sir. I got you there.
So how's this whole process been for you? I don't know how long. You've probably been here a few days. Mm-hmm. Like, what's been the strangest question you've gotten so far from a team?
I feel like there probably isn't any strangest question. It hasn't been – no questions have surprised me.
No, nothing like that? No crazy ones, cat or dog, any of that kind of crap, right?
Nah.
You know, I forgot my train of thought here. I was going to go with the guy you want to see. All right, I'm just going to change the damn subject. I forgot where I was going to go with it. The guy you can't wait to see in the NFL when you get on the field, right? Who's that first guy you're going to be like, damn, I'm in the NFL. Look at this guy across here at the field in warm-ups.
He's on the opposite side. I'd probably say Patrick Mahomes. Okay. Just because, you know, that's just crazy. That
even the running backs are saying
Mahomes. I know, they all want crazy. They either want to hit Mahomes or play with Mahomes or see Mahomes or intercept him or catch a pass from him. Everybody wants to be around Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. And for good reason.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, though. Just be in the same league as him, too.
I know where I wanted to go with it. Do you pay attention to the whole NFL devaluing of the running back and all that crap? Like, did you ever think about maybe I should change my position with the way this crap's going?
Not really. I mean, it's something that obviously you can't ignore,
right,
in a sense. But it's kind of just believing in yourself, believing in God, and just, you know, I feel like if we as running – I'm not saying we aren't performing, but I say if we as running back take it another notch, I feel like they have no other choice but to pay us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like just believing myself, perfecting my craft, and trying to do everything in my ability to perform at the highest level.
Right.
And essentially kind of not force them to pay us, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of make a change. Put them,
yeah, I hear you there. I hear you. Did you stay in Jester dorm?
No, sir.
Damn.
Sanjay.
San Jacinto?
Yes, sir.
Damn, is that where the players are staying now?
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Yes,
when did that happen?
I'm not sure.
Damn.
I know when we were there, that's what I were. So
Jester dorm is like the biggest dorm in the country, right, out of any school. And that's where we stayed, right?
So wait, you stayed in the dorm? You didn't have a nice little
mansion
where you stayed by yourself?
Guys,
no,
so.
But you got dad's money. You
dad's,
showed up in a limo. You know he
American.
Showed up in a limo for the first day
I
of
did
school.
Not tell him to shut his ass up, all right? I had dad's credit card to go out to bring guys out to dinner and lunch, like, you know, because that was a thing in our time.
Yeah.
Like, guys didn't have money. We had no dinner. So I'd go, I'll go to the Chili's. And, you know, my dad played in the NFL. So my dad, you know, one day all of a sudden he's like, I mean, Christopher, what the hell are you doing over there? Between parking tickets, right?
Yeah.
Because I got so sick of walking around in 100-degree heat after a workout. So I'd pull up right in front of the class.
Me too.
But I had a lot of boots on my damn car. You too?
I didn't get any boots just because I paid them off once I got them, so I wouldn't get any boots.
Oh, damn. Yeah, I let
but
that.
I did
yeah, see, that's how
tickets.
It works. See, he's got it.
I
they give
it
you a ticket,
end.
You pay it, and then they don't put a boot on your
right. I wrote it to the end. I said, screw you. They won't put the boot on here. And they put the boot on.
That's what a lot of
people do. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, Jonathan, congratulations on your success at Texas. He's all excited to talk to the Texas
Kick
guys
ass,
and follow
man.
The
yes,
Texas
sir.
Guys. Yeah. Jonathan Brooks, thanks again, and we can't wait to see what you do in the NFL.
Yes, sir. Thank
all right, more from Indy to come, or not. You're our last interview. We're done.
We're out.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.